Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, everybody. Yay! Welcome to another reality show. Wow, I haven't heard that intro in quite some time. Feels good. Tonight we have an amazing show. Jennifer Adele is with us, and we're going to share some insights with each other. And then, you know, when that feels complete, we're going to do some readings. It's going to be a great show. And before we dive into Jennifer, I want to make some announcements, because it appears that there's this resurgence going on with another reality show. So I want to give everybody dates. So, of course, Jennifer was on August 8th. Next Wednesday, same time, 8 o'clock, is Laura Eisenhower. I'm really excited about that show. She's got a lot of information on the Mars Project. And, I tell you, when you listen to her show, get very still, because Laura speaks very quickly. So get comfortable and, feel free to re-listen. I re-listen to many of her interviews. So that's the 15th. And then on August 23rd, me and Janine will be doing a roundtable with George Kavassalis and his wife Cynthia. And I wanted it to be longer than 2 hours, so we are pre-taping the show. It'll be in two segments. The first segment I will post as soon as we're done, which very well could be at midnight on the 24th. And then I realized I won't be able to post the second segment until the following day, the 25th, because Blog Talk Radio only allows me to play one show a day. So, but, you know, anywhere between the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, you'll have both of those segments. And we're going to be focusing, the whole roundtable will be focusing on the integration of our shadow sides. So I am super excited about that, because, anybody that knows me knows it's truly one of my favorite subjects is the shadow side. I enjoy giving light to dark spaces, because we're living in a frequency where denying those dark spaces will put you into very chaotic states of being. And that is a great segue to my guest for tonight. So let me read what Jennifer wrote. She's so articulate. Jennifer Adele is an independent author and a nature gal, and also the owner of Earth and Paw Totems. She provides a variety of nature symbology and animal totem readings for clients all over the world. She is also an active lecturer and educator for many local groups and public education venues. Jennifer is a vibrant member within the local community, as well as one of the co-owners for Ancient Ways St. Louis and the local coffee Coven. Okay, right on.
There you go.
Okay, well, and we'll get the rest out of you. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Right on, sister. I enjoy you as well. First of all, there's so much to talk about. You've had tremendous changes going on. I'm really curious, what is this 365? I looked for a website to post on the event page on Facebook, but I wasn't able to get it. So I was like, I'm going to ask Jennifer, because you left the job of rescuing animals to be in this 365, and I don't even know if I'm saying
that
completely.
Synthesis 365 initially started out as sort of a green movement, nature awareness, and we evolved into being specifically social. So we have the specifically hardcore focus on the Facebook community page, where people can come and share things that are nature-based. They can feel a connection between the astrological and the geological And just to have it be an uplifting community where we're promoting sentience,
right,
sentience in all things. So that's really just kind of the goal. And aside from that and my little nature excursions and my writing, I keep busy.
Well, and of course, the next thing I want to ask about is, can you tell us, you know, a little preview about the book you're writing?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I will go ahead and give you a teeny preview. Actually, it really revolves around sentience. It is a work of fiction, and I'm about two-thirds of the way through the editing. The beginning phases of editing have started on the first six chapters.
Wonderful.
And it's going to be a 12-chapter book. And basically, it's about, imagine if all of the sentience that existed on an energetic level manifested in a physical manner. What would that look like in a given space? So it's definitely a suspense book. It's got some adult themes, but it's all about everything from the houses to the trees to the people being sentient, interconnected, and affecting one another with both bad and good results. Yes. So,
wow.
I thought it was a
how-to book on, you know, the totems. That's so, awesome. Awesome. Okay, right on.
So it's going to be powerful. You know, we're looking at a couple different publishers right now, and stay tuned because probably within the next few months we'll be at the hardcore end of editing, beginning of publishing phase.
Can I wonderfully be gifted with a copy of the book when it comes out?
Of course, of
Yay!
Course.
It's so fun to be a radio host. Well, and then of course, once I read the book, come on and we'll talk about the book.
There you go.
Yeah, right on. Now, let me ask you a question because I'm very curious. And I realize many things are that I speak about on both of my shows lately are incredibly hard to put into words. So I really do recognize, as Eckhart Tolle put it, words are just the pointers. So, you know, I want you to know that I understand I'm asking a question that literally can't be put into words, asking it to be put into words. So what is your definition or how do you describe sentience?
That is a really good question. And actually, I can put that into words.
Okay.
It's anything that has awareness on any level. And when you go into a lot of really diverse teachings, diverse cultures, ancient and even moving into the modern era, everything from structures to the materials that create structures to the people to the plants to the rocks to the animals, literally everything, including the void or the silence, is sentient. It's a moving, living, breathing thing, even though it may not be biologically alive, in and
right.
of itself. So there is nothing that isn't. And so for me, it's a lot of what I feel on the energetic level. If I could show the world what I feel through eyes that could see it on a physical level, this is what it would look like.
Wow.
And so that's really what I'm trying to bring forward.
Right on. Yeah, because, you know, in my humble opinion, the part of the change and the shifting going on the planet right now is our sentience. Everyone and everything, of course, like you just said, the sentience is becoming, you know, that awareness is just becoming, everything is becoming more aware of that truth. Because, like, I the other day I'm walking through the woods and I kind of had it in my head, you know, the idea what the Buddhists say that, you know, to live a harmless life, you know, harm nothing. And what I became so aware of is that, you know, even while I'm walking in the woods, on the path, there are these, you know, little trees and plants sprouting up and the moss and even the rocks that feel my pressure when I'm walking. And what was interesting is, you know, I didn't go into guilt from, you know, stepping on these sentient beings. I went into, may my energy meet your energy and bring awareness. And that's the time when I emailed you when you were on Mexico, because I was looking down, I was very aware, and I really just had this, it was a softening of myself. One thing I was very noticing of is I was avoiding all the daddy long legs that were on the path. And I was noticing them everywhere, to the point where one actually, you know, I was kind of standing by a tree. I have certain trees that I know like, you know, I know them, and like they'll have these indents where if I hug them, my belly will touch the tree part, but there'll be this indent where my forehead fits into it, and it just feels like I'm nestled in the tree. And so I was hugging this tree. It's one of my favorites. And then I pulled my head away, and this, you know, this daddy long leg literally crawled up to the tree, stopped at the level of my eyes, and, you know, shared a moment with me. Mm-hmm. I felt incredibly, you know, graced. I felt incredible grace by its presence. But I, you know, sometimes, you know, the Golden Hawk really, I want to know, you know, what are the details of the message? I get caught up in the details. I admit it. And
I know, got that message.
I know. And you were brilliant, you know, because I'm like, oh, I'll wait till you get home. You're like, I don't need to get home here. And it was like, you know, you just shared with me. And it was like, because it really felt like, you know, whether that was the Daddy Long Leg representative, that's what it felt to me, that, you know, he was saying or she was saying, you know, hey, we got that. We got that you're living harmless and that your energy is conscious. Because, you know, it is really important to understand we live in a duality world, you know, because it makes me laugh when people go, I won't eat anything with a face on it. And I'm like, you know, I mean, we're starting to see pictures of the grass when it gets cut is, you know, those smiley face things and, you know, sentient beings, you know. The truth is, we're all eating each other.
Well, and you know, not harm does not mean that there's no death. You know, I mean,
right on.
Death is the flip side of the coin of life. You can't have one without the other. So, you know, death and sometimes what looks like destruction are not really synonymous with harm. Harm kind of implies intent.
Mm,
so, you know, you have
that's
a lion eat a water buffalo. It's not harmful. There's no intent to be malevolent. It's just living.
Yeah. Yeah, right on.
The dance.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, no, that is, that's very good. That's very good. Okay, I have another question. I have questions for you, if that's okay, because these are...
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I love hearing your perspective. So lately, I've been having... you know, like, it's so funny, and it's right on mode with what you're talking about. I've been having a dance with water, and water has just been revealing tremendous, tremendous awareness to me. And I'm curious what, you know, you already acknowledge it, that it, you know, it's sentient, but...
Mm-hmm.
How do you, what's your experience with awareness or with water?
I had a very, actually, it is a very interesting correlation. You're bringing this up. I had such a positive, really life-altering experience in Huatulco, you know, which is where I was in Mexico. It's on the Pacific side, and it's a collection of basically 9 to 11 bays, depending on what layout you're looking at of the land and the maps. But basically... those waters off of Huatulco are known as being the birthplace of Quetzalcoatl in the legend. So,
okay. Oh, nice.
The Toltecian serpent god we're all kind of aware of. Now, the serpent god is synonymous with healing and rebirth and was very important to the people, associated with agriculture and the life-death cycle. Those waters are considered very powerful, very healing in a lot of the myths and lores because that's where they tied that original legend to.
Right.
And I went to Huatulco, very few people know this, but I went to Huatulco to heal. When I was sick back in October of 2009, I had a food allergy and didn't know it and got horribly, horribly sick, and like hospital sick.
Oh,
and
okay.
Ever since then, I've always had this fear, what if I eat something and it has this in it and I get sick like that again? And that fear sits with you, and at every meal it sits with you, and you eat a lot, you know? I mean, we eat often.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you live with the fear until this fear kind of is this nameless, shapeless thing that's just hovering. And you don't really even realize it, and you suddenly are aware that you are not that same wild person completely that you were before.
Mm.
And so I went to Huatulco to reclaim that part of myself. And so I went to a private bay, wrote high up in the sand the word rebirth, and waited for the waves to come in, and I thought it's going to be a long time for them to get this high. You know, they usually don't get this high until nighttime. And so I kind of wandered into the water and kept an eye on what I'd written. And very, very shortly after that, we had this huge insurge of wind, and the waves just came right up and washed that out into the waters and took what I was asking, took what I had come there for my pilgrimage, my journey, and washed it out to sea. And I knew I'd been heard, and I knew there had been an expression, but with such a specific primal element like water, much like wind or fire, it's not the same kind of sentience. It's something beyond. So they're not like strands of the great web. They're the spaces in between. And it's just this amazing sentience that goes beyond communication.
Huh.
I don't know if that helps you.
No. It fills in those gaps.
Yeah.
As only water can.
Exactly.
You know, because that is... It's so interesting because what you just said, I have been very focused on, since water has been, Janine liked it too, since water has been speaking to me, it's like the yin and the yang are filling itself in through my awareness. And the door that's opening, Eckhart Tolle said something very profound. I mentioned it last night, but it's definitely worth mentioning again. That awareness, when we bring awareness to any situation, that is, it's a profound game changer, because awareness brings in a whole nother dimension. You know, it's like we have the dimension of height and width and height, width, and length, and then the fourth dimension is time. Well, the dimension of awareness, for me anyways, feels like it's not just one dimension. It's not like, you know, up, down. It's the filling in of space, what everybody's calling empty, and what's being filled into that space is sentient. So it's not that it's just, you know, being filled up with tar. You know, it's being filled up with wisdom, with intelligence, with a guidance that, like for me, it hit me that the water, science has already proven that the water on the planet now is literally the same water that was on the planet during the dinosaur age. You know, like it's the same water. So essentially what's in our bodies is not only sentient and alive, it knows the history, because it seems that this awakening and the whole, you know, the matrix going down with the bankers and, you know, the Illuminati, and if there are, you know, my belief system says that there are, you know, these reptilians that are, you know, purposely working their magic to keep us, you know, limited and enslaved. But the truth in the water, because the water has actually been through the time of history, that's in us. And it's like, so the connection for us to have this awareness of our true history and who we really are and why we really came here, is 80% of it is inside of us. And so, like, there's, like, Emoto had a really interesting thing where he showed that through intention we could, you know, change the structure of water. And that was profound work, absolutely. But I'm taking it almost, you know, the yang, the opposite of intending what the water molecules look like. I'm saying, why don't we surrender control at all and let the water guide us?
Mm-hmm.
Through
that's a
this
very
birthing.
Receptive, yeah, that's very receptive and very healing. I think it's a powerful place, because sometimes the most powerful thing you can do, the most dynamic, is nothing.
Exactly. That the art of just being, because you can see it in all the conditioned programming, how, you know, they're talking about the water being, you know, they're talking about poisoning the water with whether it be fracking or whatever the Illuminati this time, you know, they're poisoning us everywhere. And I'm not saying that that is not the truth. They are poisoning our food and our water and our soil and our air and, you know, our drugs, meaning, you know, the pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's always like, you know, and as an author, I know you'll get this. I know Janine will get this. And as people who read books, it's never just one-sided. It's never just, you know, the bad guys get stronger, but, you know, that which is the tool that we can use, and I don't want to say to fight it because that's old energy. The mm-hmm. tools we have to counterbalance that which is trying to kill us is, to me, so amazingly, it's the simple things. It's breathing air outdoors, especially the air that the trees are giving off. You know, that's why mm-hmm. forests are so incredibly powerful. The oxygen is almost like it's right off the assembly line. It's the tree oxygen. And I believe that when we're in a forest and we're on ground level at the forest, even if there was chemtrails, it's almost like the trees being higher than us is like this barrier of, well, there's fresh oxygen at the bottom and the chemtrail stuff is at the top. You know, like the trees mm-hmm. are catching the chemtrails. That's just the sense that I get, you know. Fresh air.
A barrier. It makes perfect sense, both in a more energetic level and from a physical standpoint. It does.
Right on.
So
right
plus
on.
You have all of what's going on at the bottom of the forest. So you have all of the things that are dying and decaying, creating fresh growth that hasn't even been cut by the chemtrails up top. So,
right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, it's the basic stuff, the water, the air, sunshine. I mean, I got an inversion table. You know, I have some lower back issues, you know, and mm-hmm. instead of, you know, going to a doctor and getting my spine worked on or I just hang upside down, you know, let gravity heal, because it would appear that if you're in the Matrix, you know, trying to work their system, you know, the system that's kind of hell bent on killing us, you get mm-hmm. caught up in it. But if you go into the, you know, if you literally leave the game, connect back with Mother Nature in her simplicity, because I really got the message from the water. The water won't allow itself to be poisoned. It mm-hmm. like the poison might be side by side with the molecule of water. But the water itself has a sentience that it can neutralize its effect. You know, there's so much more magic in, you know, in this life-affirming element than we've been told. And, you know, to fight the fire, so to speak, with pharmaceuticals to help fibromyalgia, you know, you're feeding it with more gasoline. You know, it's because...
Right.
The whole idea that the pharmaceuticals are artificial, you want to put it back into your head. If it's not organic, then stay away from it, because if it's not organic, it's part of the Matrix.
Sorry. Well, one of the biggest problems we have, not only in this country, but it was made immediately apparent to me when I was in Mexico, because you have the people that are living basically in the towns and the cities, but then you have the indigenous. And a lot of the indigenous that live in the hills, they're really, most of them are not of Hispanic descent. They're of Toltecian, Mayan, Aztec descent. So they even look different. And they live off the grid. I mean, a lot of things up there have not changed in 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me because we have a sugar problem. Even in poor countries, even the poor in this country, the rich, the poor, it doesn't matter, we have a sugar problem. And every disease loves sugar. And it's amazing to me how much they keep creating things that even don't even need sugar to be sweet, and they pump it full of more sugar.
Huh. Yeah, well, that, you know, I really believe that that's part of, and these are my words, you know, it's going to piss people off, mm-hmm. so be it. That's part of the bliss. It does happen often, I might add. It's part of the bliss movement. Sugar is part of the bliss movement. Because it's a drug, and you're absolutely right. I see the kids. I mean, little Anya, the little girl I take care of. Mm-hmm. I mean, she literally lies and she steals to put candy in her room. She lies to her parents. I mean, you see it. It's really just a microcosm of, you know, of the crackhead who's lying and stealing to put crack in his bedroom. I mean, but it's absolutely the same template. You know, and you're absolutely right that it's, you know, and they target the kids. Well, and it's not just the kids. Hey, listen, I raised my hand. It is the last of my addictions, and I do find that since I have left my beloved Scott, I'm not craving sugar as much. There seems to be a balance. I still eat it, definitely. I haven't eliminated it totally, and I'm happy to do that as long as that drive comes from the inside.
Right.
Because I'm all, you know, it's about balance, and, you know, but one thing I'm very conscious of, and I love that it comes from within me, is I drink a ton of water. I mean, I just... Yeah, I don't even drink other things. You know, when people are like, what do you want, water? It's just the first thing out of my mouth, water. What, you know, I'm at a restaurant, water. You know, and sometimes we'll add a little lime or, you know, a little lemon. But the truth is, because it seems to balance out, and that's what I mean by the magic of water, you know, it's an ally. And it's an ally once we recognize and look at it for its ally properties. You know, because you see the propaganda going on right now, you know, where it's starting to be like, oh, the water, you know, it's going to be a war over water. And I'm like, you know, only if you know, God, there's streams everywhere. They can't police every stream and brook. I mean, they just can't. And at the very least, take some water, put it on your stove, boil it, and it's distilled. Imagine that. You know, but it just seems, you know, we are definitely reaching, well, let me ask you this. Let's go. Okay. That was brilliant. Thank you for that share. What's your feeling right now on the whole, just time and how you feel you're moving through time and your experience of time right now?
It's weird because at the same point in time that I feel as though something new is beginning, there's definitely an emergence and an awareness and an awakening happening. It's almost like on this spiral that we're moving on, we're coming back to our roots. We're not moving to the exact same point. We're moving back to a similar point at a higher vibration. It's kind of like a coming back to the primal self, but taking everything we've learned along the way and then applying it.
Mm.
It's almost like we love to shove away, especially in the Western world or the more modern world, we love to shove away anything that's old because it can't possibly be of benefit. Everything's new. Everything's made yesterday. We have a love of new cars. We have a love of new houses. We have a love of new buildings, anything modern.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's out of balance. Especially I noticed here in America, and it's way different when I travel internationally, we have no sense of continuity. We can't look at things that are 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years old that are still in use or still standing and have a sense of where we are in that spectrum.
Right.
We just don't have it here.
No, we're very immature in this country. We are very immature.
And it leads to instant gratification. It really does.
Right.
But I definitely sense as we're moving towards, of course, December 21st, 2012, and you know, I'm not totally going to buy into any of the scare talk. You know, don't believe it. Sorry, go somewhere else for that. But I definitely think it's significant that we're lining up with the galactic center. I definitely think there's going to be an energy shift that will then cause a mental, emotional shift that will then cause physical shifts. Sometimes I feel a little bit, especially lately, kind of like a midwife, helping a lot of people that are trying to be birthed into this awareness. My inbox and my text and all that have been blowing up. With people kind of having their world shook up, and it's a good thing. It can be difficult, but it's definitely a good thing because they're starting to awaken, and really all they need is somebody to just be there, listen, and sort of like, you know, the doctor, just catch. You know, just, hey, will you catch? Sure, you know, I'm here,
yeah.
I'll catch. So I think that's a lot of what I'm sensing going on, but... You know, I just feel that we're arriving at the same point on the cycle, just slightly higher up.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the slightly higher up is really the point where we get birthed. And then once we get birthed, and because I believe we're coming back to balance. And what's so interesting about that is, and it really bears repeating, I mean, this is really imperative to know through the awareness standpoint. The balance means it's not about, you know, we have to karmically get rid of all of our negativity. You know, like, we came to a dualistic dimension to experience duality. You know, that means, you know, we came to roll in shit, everybody. I mean, I don't know if I'm surprising anybody out there. And what I mean by that is we came to do dark things. That's because it's really very much a part of who we are. And in the lifetime when we're coming into balance, you know, there seems to be this propaganda going around that, you know, if you're not cleared of all your darkness, you don't get to ascend. And which is partly why I'm hell bent on being the poster child for the shadow side.
Well, and it's also part of the same propaganda that, you know, the whole fear is the mind killer, fear is the enemy, fear is defeat. Fear is a biological impulse that is a gift. Now, sometimes it gets misused or thrown out of balance. Sometimes we fear things we shouldn't fear. You know, sometimes we fear things as obscure as the boogeyman or the unknown. We just fear something.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. That's not balanced. But fear, a healthy, rational, reasonable fear, or that intuitive gut instinct of, maybe I shouldn't drive down that street tonight. Something feels wrong. I'm a little bit crazy. Fear is a gift. And you have people out there saying you need to get rid of your fear or override or overcome. No, you don't. You just need to make sure it's healthy. It's healthy and it's balanced and it's properly tuned. But fear is a gift of nature.
Exactly. All of the anger is the same way. You know, people are like, you can't respond angrily. You know, you've got to show the world that, you know, you have compassion. It's like, you know, Dana Murkich, her monthly newsletter. I mean, she stated it pretty clearly. If you're suppressing your anger or your fear, I mean, literally going, don't feel it, because, you know, your fear is that you're not going to ascend because you're experiencing that. That's really similar to being, like, you know, on drugs or in an alcoholic state where you're, you know, suppressing your emotions. It, you know, there's such a necessity to redefining. That's what I love about Janine's work. How she really brings an awareness to people that, you know, when we think we're at our most insecure, you know, she'll go, no, that's perfect. That's brilliant that you're feeling that. And really what we're feeling is we're feeling the fear. We're feeling the anger. But then we put this tag along, and that makes me a bad person. And it's like, no, that can't be farther from the truth. Because we came to, and this is where awareness is such a profound game changer. Because awareness will show you that the clarity of in a polarized dimension, to not be polarized would be it's impossible. We are polarized, so we can feel anger. That doesn't mean we're gonna. So don't kick the dog to feel better. Own your anger. This is where America kind of, in my humble opinion, falls short. So we get the awareness that anger, fear are exactly like you said, very natural elements of this dimension. Now, can you feel it and not project that onto another? That's the real game changer. Can you feel angry but not call up, you know, a good friend of yours, you know, and spew it all over them till they get pissed off at you, and then you go, okay, I feel better. They feel like shit. You know?
That is very true. You really don't want to make others the whipping posts for your emotions.
Well, because that's when anger and stuff is being negatively utilized. In other words, it's still in its negative state. Exactly.
Well, anger can be such a thrust. First of all, it can be a thrust that says, I'm not going to take it anymore. It takes back. People have taken from you. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm taking it back. Taking myself back. I'm taking back what's rightfully mine. It's such a powerful motivator to move on and to move forward.
Yes,
you know,
right,
it's really a great thing, as long as it's not misused or misplaced or, again, kind of like fear, thrown way out of balance. We're just angry at the world. We're just angry. Things didn't go my way. This isn't what I thought my life would look like, and it must be your fault. Yes,
exactly.
It must be somebody else's fault, you know, that your life isn't what you thought it would look like.
That is, and that's also very big in America, God bless. The the fault game. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of fault going on. Well, and but you know, there was an interesting. I heard an interesting statistic by Adamus in Sedona recently that we're on the cusp, literally. That it's you like this post too. You hit like for it. That we're at 11:59 and 59 seconds of approximately 24 million people going through an awakening. I mean, it was almost like when I heard that information, it went inside of me and literally into that timeless space of the preparation, kind of similar to what you were saying about midwifing. I really understood that the awakening is about the integration of our shadow side for many of these 24 million people. And so the midwifing is really about us letting them know that it's okay to be a whole being again. You know, enlightenment isn't about not feeling anything. It's about feeling it and mastering that feeling, knowing that if it feels bad, the first thing you don't have to do is unload it someplace to feel better, but that you can actually hold it within your being and let it alchemize you. Because that is the power of the anger.
That's one of the things that I learned from tattooing. Because in this culture, we really fear pain. We really fear it.
Yes.
I mean, pain meds, you know, I don't ever want to feel uncomfortable ever. Medicate me, make it go
away. Yes, exactly.
When in actuality, pain and fever and things that are of discomfort are warning signs. So again, a gift. You just have to know how to look at it. And I'm not, you know, against all medication. Goodness knows if my arm falls off, I want somebody to sew it on and give me pain meds. But aside from that, you know, one of the things I learned with my first tattoo was, and I have many now, even an abdomen tattoo, so I've learned how to sit with pain really well.
Yeah.
Don't try to
yeah.
tighten up and get away from the pain. Don't try to, you know, shrink away and, oh, I hope this is over really quick, oh, my gosh, and get away from it. Sit with it. Lean into the pain. Okay, that hurts. How much does it hurt? What does that feel like? Go into it, because what happens is our pain experience, usually what makes it heightened is our fear of it.
Yeah.
Now we're in a heightened state, experiencing pain, it's so much worse. As opposed to if you lean into it, if you can get yourself to sit with it. And it's the same with emotional pain. When it comes to grieving or anything uncomfortable, oh, let's shove that away. Let's not look at that. I don't want to look at old people. Shove them in a home. I don't want to look at the dying. I don't want to be involved with the sick. You know, I don't want to look at it. It's too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my own mortality and my own frailty.
Yeah.
Sit with it. It's a part of you. It's a part of life. It's very natural. And goodness knows, one day you would want somebody to sit with you.
Yeah.
Sit with it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Right on. Right on. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. I mean, I think with, you know, it's so funny. What the world needs now, that song is Love, Sweet Love.
Mm-hmm.
But love of that which we haven't, you know, the loving, and I'm not talking necessarily about loving thy enemy, even though I understand that concept from a point of awareness, because the enemy is pain. It is, you know, we've been conditioned to believe pain is the enemy, and, and it's so funny because, I mean, I've gone most of my life going, I'm going to do the emotional work because I don't want any pain in my body. I don't like pain. I do not like pain. And it's so funny because you go, you say, well, how is that, Goldie, when, you know, you're a poster child for the shadow side? And it's like, because awareness really gives value to the pain that it becomes, patience evolves into perseverance.
It becomes worthwhile, is what it becomes.
It really does. But everything. Did you see the movie V for Vendetta?
No, you know, I'm maybe the only person in the world.
No, Janine
hasn't seen it either.
You guys are. It's such a good movie. But anyways, there's a part in the movie, and I don't want to be a buzzkill and give it away. But there's a part in the movie where the main character, the girl Evie, she's like, I'm tired of being afraid, and you know, the V basically, you know, tortures her till near death.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, she's genuinely not the same person anymore. It's like working through that pain and that kind of suffering and understanding there's an understanding of so much. We can take the human body within the human spirit is so much more durable. I mean, I've seen it over the last 22 years of being a nanny, and it's not that, you know, I have not put my children through pain, but you really see that they're, you know, how people have this idea that, oh, babies are these fragile little dolls, you know, and I'm like, you'd be surprised how, you know, nature really enforced that if they get dropped or if they roll off a bed or a changing table, their bones don't break, they bend. You know,
they're rubbery.
They're very rubbery.
Kind of rubbery.
Well, and you really get that, you know, there's a lot of us that got dropped on our heads when we were kids because our parents, you know, turned away and we rolled off
right.
the changing table. And you see why that really, because it's like, it doesn't seem, I mean, I can feel that awareness and that same type of cushion is surrounding us going through this birthing process. Of the new humanity being birthed, that
mm-hmm.
you know that same precedence holds true for us because we're very new at the integration of awakening and owning our shadow sides, and you know this is and again this is everything you get when you connect with nature. I highly recommend connecting with nature and connecting with the organic essences and sentience that's within your own being, because the wisdom that is already in place, you know, it's a tool that it just requires your attention. Just bring your attention to it and it will reveal itself to you because it wants to, you know,
that's what it feels like
the time is.
Well, you remember we had this discussion, and you said, come back and tell us on the next show how it is when you finally decide to be your most authentic self and when you take that step and blah, blah, blah.
I do remember that.
So, you know, I did. I was having this, you know, I have epiphanies in the car. Who knows why? Car or the bathtub, but usually the car. Anyway, so I'm driving to help with a nature camp, teach some kids, you know, take them out. And I'm driving to get there, and I had this question pop up in my mind. This is a question that's tortured me for probably 15 years, because if anybody has tried to have the stereotypical career, it's this girl. So the question popped up, why haven't I ever been able to make that work? And then the answer came, because it's not what you want, because you don't want to.
Right.
And part of that was a little bit disheartening because I'm like, oh, my God, self-sabotage, you know. But
right.
then part of it was, wow, so the only reason it didn't work was because I chose not to on some level.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing broken. I just really didn't want to. And then in that moment, it was like there was this piece of myself that's a little bit more shadow that said, thank you for finally listening to me. And
nice.
It's amazing because – you know, I'm very pro the feminist movement. I'm very pro equal rights. I'm very pro people should have choices, man, woman. Doesn't matter if you want to work, great. If you want to be in the home and that's doable, great. I don't care if you're the man or the woman or if there's two men or two women or five men or I don't care. You know,
right on.
It's
right
all
on.
Good as long as everybody's happy and nobody's getting hurt. So, you know, I look at it that way. But I always kind of felt a little bit like a traitor to the feminist movement if I wanted to do my own thing, define what a career meant to me, and have that ability to be flexible to be in the home more. Because I like being in my home. I like
yeah.
being in the house. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right on.
And I had to overcome that. And I had to accept that part of myself that became shadow because I shoved it down.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it fit the template.
Huh. That's brilliant.
And now
brilliant.
I'm 2/3 of the way towards my first novel and making things happen.
Yeah,
so
right on.
I'm checking
right
back
on.
In with you.
I appreciate that. That's well, and you know, just to confirm your choice, I was watching one of the Illuminati videos, and the feminist movement was created for one reason: they wanted women to start paying taxes.
Uh-huh.
That was the motivation behind the feminist movement.
That wouldn't surprise me a whole lot.
Of course. I mean, because everything is corrupt around, you know, when
it's
people...
all about sex and taxes.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, because I love it. You know, so that's beautiful, Jennifer. Thank you for sharing that. I love it that you remembered and that you shared it. And
it's nice to have people to share it with, to have somebody right that you know is waiting to hear back from you, and you have accountability. So
yeah,
it's a little bit of extra impetus to go forward.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Living authentically is the most powerful choice we can make, and that is whether it's breaking the law, breaking traditional values, breaking the chain of responsibility, because, you know, as a female, you know, you can't go to college because you've got to take care of the kids, meaning those kind of beliefs, becoming, mm-hmm. you know, there's a sense that we must understand becoming deviant to that which is, because that which is corrupted. So mm-hmm. we, you know, breaking the law, if the law is corrupt, you know, these things become upside down, inside out, double negatives, you know. So what does that mean? That means we're living righteous to ourself,
mm-hmm.
because that is what the awareness is unveiling. The unveiling is that, you know, the quote-unquote American dream is really set up for the elite, not for anybody else. I mean, that's...
Well,
and
course.
So, if
and
you're
we're
in the matrix... Well, because here's the bottom line. Well, don't expect them to do it for you. Just eliminate the need for the validation of the government and write your own book and self-publish. You know,
mm-hmm.
There are so many things that when we connect to self and the power of the lore, the L-O-R-E, our soul's journey, which has the support of a cosmos behind it. And I can almost tell you almost every time, the support of the lore of our souls is the first gift is getting off the grid. The
yep.
grid, you know, because, you know, I get it that the Oprahs and the Beyoncés, okay, they did it on the grid, but, you know,
and there's validity to doing it on the grid. But for someone like me, that's not authentic to who I am. I'm
yeah,
at the end of
exactly.
the day, no matter what it is and no matter how painful the other option is, I'm going to choose anything over submission.
Right on, right on.
I am.
I feel that is. I have always been, you can't cage me. Even before I knew I was Golden Hawk and I was still Cindy Pressman, I could not...
Mm-hmm.
Caging me was the old, taking my freedom away. I would, that was truly my biggest fear in a lot of the choices I made. And what's so
yeah.
amazing is all the choices I made that were breaking the law, which of course from one perspective you go, but you're breaking the law. That couldn't you lose your freedom? And it's like, but when by being authentic when I was breaking the law, I knew I would never go to jail. I really
right.
knew I would never go to jail. It was like, this is my journey. I just know it's my journey, and you know,
and you
I,
have
I
to
love
trust that. You
pardon?
Have to trust that. You have to trust
exactly.
that part of yourself that says
exactly.
yes, that's correct. Go there. And I find that earlier on in my life when I was less authentic, I had people around me who were not supportive of that. So every time they said, don't do that, I started to learn that that's what I needed to do.
Right
because
on.
I felt I needed to do it, and then all these people were telling me no. Now the great thing is I've gone so far on this path that everybody around me, when I go, hey, I'm going to do this crazy thing over here, but sounds good to me, everybody's like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because now the people around you want, because see, if you can succeed, it almost gives them permission for them to do it.
Exactly.
That, I believe that. And so right on. Here's to authentic living. You know, cheers, my friend. Cheers.
Yeah.
So so you're still as fantastic as you've always been, Jen. I really enjoy it. Yeah, my pleasure. I really enjoy our talks. Every time you come on, I'm like, oh, wow, that is I'm a big component of you got to walk your talk. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the main reasons I stopped doing a show every week with another reality show, because, you know, I'm really not about just selling a book or a technique. You know, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. I don't mind you, everybody selling what they're doing. Just be living it. Don't just be marketing it. You must be living it. Or in all honesty, don't come on my show, because I don't resonate with what I call dead words. Dead words
right.
where you speak it, but it's so apparent there's no energy behind it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad you're part of, you know, the another reality show circle. We enjoy your presence. Yeah, you're
we
beautiful.
We always have such a good time doing these, you know.
We
it's so spontaneous and it's so organic, and you just know that whatever's going to happen and whatever's going to be said is something that not only you need to hear, but that maybe somebody else listening needs to hear.
Right
so,
on. Right on, sweetheart. Right on. So, all right, we're coming up to the top of the hour. Do you want to, you know, and we'll give it again at the end of the show, but can you give, you know, the information where people can find you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. Actually, all of my social media links and all that are on my website. So you don't have to visit my website just to read all the information there about animals and nature and totems and symbology. But feel free to read. You know, information's free. Bring your own container to keep it in. My website is www.earthandpawtotems.com. And please feel free to check me out on social media. I am very friendly.
You are very friendly.
I am
very
amazing
info. Yes. Hey, can I just recommend, you should put Earth and Tall Potem on your about place on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I probably should. That's a good point. I'm going
to
do that.
Only because I looked for it. I was like, I can't believe she doesn't have a website. And I was like, she must have a website.
I will do that. It totally
You know, right
mind.
On.
Yes,
yeah, right on. Okay, it's all good. Okay, so this is the audience. What the audience needs to do, we can do questions through the chat room, and we can do questions through the telephone. And, you know, depending on how this works, there's already a caller on the in the queue. If area code 407, if you want a reading, press 1. The number to call, if you want to do this from the phone, is 646-929-2084. And, you know, depending on how many people call, you know, they're mini readings. And I'm not saying that, you know, a lot can be... God knows, an aha moment can come. You know, it is not about the quantity of information.
No, and let me just say this. If you don't get a reading tonight and you want a message reading, a message totem reading, or a nature symbology reading, they're free on my website.
Oh, right on.
So just go there. I get the email, and then I just send you a free message totem or nature symbology reading, whichever one you want. And, you know, I mean, I have longer, more in-depth, like 4, 5, 6-page readings that I will take 3 days to do. Those cost either 25 or 45, obviously,
okay.
for my time and things
no,
like that.
No, right on, right
and
on.
Maybe to the website. And I do donate 20% to the endangered cheetahs, Paula.
Oh, nice.
But if you just want to do one of the free readings, which is what I'm doing tonight, and you don't get a chance, please feel free to go to my website and email me, and I will be more than happy to hook you up. So.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's very right on, Jen. It's just you, all you. Okay, so you know, are you ready to go? You want to?
I am ready.
Okay,
let's do it.
Okay, so all right. Nobody's running out. So I'll go first.
Okay,
I'm here I'll be honest with you. We have had a tremendous surge lately, Janine and I, in the in the listenership of the Mystical Mother Earth Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of curious what, you know, and what would I do? Nature? Let's do nature.
Okay.
What does nature want me to know about the Mystical Mother Earth Show?
Okay, let's find out.
And I can feel Janine's ears are perking up.
Okay. Well, it's not a heron, Janine, okay? It's not.
She does love her
herons. There are herons on the back of this deck, let me tell you. So
right
on. We're covered. But what I'm getting right now is an elemental energy.
Okay.
It's not water, though, but it's a complement to it. It's wind.
Okay.
And it's about the activation. It's all about the movement and the activation that thrust forward. Now, sometimes winds are gentle and sometimes they're quite turbulent. But in both instances, they're both pushing something to a new destination.
Nice.
And that's kind of what I'm getting.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That is, Janine Put Up the Heart, of course. I mean, that is about it. Well, we love your readings are right on. I mean, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, activation, initiation, it's exactly that. And wow, thank you. That was beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah, right on.
But it's always forward.
Yeah.
It's always forward.
Yeah, right on. And because right, we can't, there, you know, this idea that going into our past, the past is a mental concept. There is no, it's, you know, you listen to Eckhart Tolle, who clearly gets it. It's all now. You know, there is no future, there is no past. It's just now. And you know, this awareness that seems to be birthing itself within our own physical bodies right now is very aware of that. You know, that, and forward meaning. Because it's so funny, the soul, the only reason why I'm talking is because nobody's getting their hand up. So,
I like listening. So.
Oh, right on. One of the things I got was recently, the soul works from, you know, the soul comes from a timeless space, you know, a timeless arena. So how could, what would be the designator for soul movement? You know, I was contemplating this going, because it's clearly not, you know, the sun rising and the sun setting every night, because it's timeless. And it hit me that the soul moves in a progression when it's had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is seeking experiences. That's why to deny ourselves what we feel when we're angry or what we feel when we're, you know, fearful or lost, you're denying the progression of the soul, which means, and it's the soul that's creating the situation to experience it. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's an unconscious catch 22. If we just, as Eckhart Tolle says it so beautifully, can you be the space for what is? If it's been created, denying it is such child's play. It's there. The situation is already there. So that means on some level, there was a reason for it. So
well, and on some level, you must have called it. On some
exactly.
level, you must have called it. Now, that's not to blame a victim.
Exactly.
But at the same point in time, experiences, bad or good, even difficulties in life, hardships, and great, great suffering, which is
yeah.
not to be minimized or anything like that. But it can have something good come of it.
Yeah.
Just because something bad has happened does not mean that something good can't come of it.
Oh, it's inherent in, that's the beauty of the alchemy. Because when we totally accept the situation, I mean, and I mean fully in ourselves, accept a situation, that's when the gift comes in of what that situation brought to us.
Mm-hmm.
Recently I read a book called Frederick Douglass, Narration of a Slave, written by himself. I'll tell you, this book, no lie, was written in 1838 and still applicable today.
Really?
Because the soul is timeless. So
yeah.
he writes the story of how he emancipated himself from slavery through the wisdom and the power of learning how to write and read. How that one piece could no longer allow him to accept the terms that it's okay to enslave a man. And through awareness and courage and walk in his talk, inevitably became a speaker for the North in all the emancipating, you know, ways when we ended up going into Civil War. You know, it's a profound book, profound. And, you know, it's so funny because I know, I personally have never read the Bible, but
mm-hmm.
I know people are like, you know, it was written 2,000 years ago, and even the Bible, to be quite honest, does not, there's so many points in the Bible, from my humble opinion, that are not timeless. You know,
no.
They
were obviously written for the time period. They were
exactly.
It's obvious. They were written for the time period and of that mindset. Now there are things in there that are.
No,
there are points.
There are points that are timeless.
I'm one.
Religion, you know, really, it's one of those. I'm so glad I never had that I never had to really journey in that in this lifetime. I've just never been attracted to any kind of religion, any kind of group consciousness that says we all have to move together based on these rules. Because even like Cherokee and some Indians, I've been, you know, exposed to, and I enjoyed them, but I was like, no, no, but I'm not signing up to be a Cherokee. You know, that's
right.
You know,
I'm not a part of anything.
I'm not a part of any group. That's exactly right. Group consciousness has just, in this particular lifetime for me, is has not been the goal. But the timeless messages, because how funny, you know, we're all awakening to our own, you know, our being a slave. Just, it's not a slave where we're in chains, per se, but we are a slave to our jobs, and we are a slave to certain, you know, religions.
I mean, there's a reason that term works. You know, there is a reason. And I have a friend who, no matter how much she tells me, and I see her point of it, it's not that it's not true, but it's not my reality, is she sees her paycheck as a thank you. Oh, every 2 weeks, they love my work. They give me a paycheck. Thank you. I'm like, yes, but it's a veiled threat. You do realize what they're saying is, keep working or I will take this away from you. You know?
Yeah, no, right on. Yeah, huh. Yeah. That's exactly, because I am finding most awakened people, literally one of the first major change they do is they get out of corporate, whatever corporate is, you know, even if it's a little corporate, because learning that our being is our sustenance is a major element to the act of being free, you know, not being controlled by a paycheck, in other words.
And not being defined by a title, a job title, or anything else.
Yeah. All the material things. I mean, the material things are nice, but boy, being controlled by them is just, I don't know, that's wackadoodle to me. I'm wackadoodle. All right, listen, people, Jennifer's ready to do calls and readings. Please call in. Well, what's going on here? There you go. Okay, 407 hit one. Yes, all I had to do was push you off that cliff.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, Dave, what's up?
There you go.
How are you, my friend?
What's up? I'm doing good, Goldie. How are you, Jennifer? What's up?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Nice to meet you. It's nice hearing you guys speaking for a little bit. It was nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So,
well, what would you prefer? Would you prefer a nature reading or an animal totem reading?
Animal totem, I think, because,
okay.
Yeah, it's, for some reason it sounds better for me.
Okay.
So
funny. And would you like something specific, or do you need just something more general?
Man, that's... I think the first word that comes up right now when you're talking about being specific is just, I don't want to say purpose, because I understand the general purpose, but then that's the word that comes up.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because I feel like, I feel like I haven't really, really embraced my purpose or what I really have to do physically in this world, because I've been very kind of stuck materially and physically, and I feel like I am sort of supposed to be moving forward, but I'm not really sure what kind of direction I should be taking. So,
well,
yeah, instead on that one, I'd love it.
Yeah, I will go ahead and do an animal totem reading for a message, but then I'm going to do a nature reading in back of that for a general overall.
No, right on, Jen.
You know,
well, that's
beautiful. Yeah, let's do that, because I kind of sense that might give you a little bit more of what you're looking for.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so from the animal world, the animal that pops up initially, I mean, and as you were speaking, I could just feel it, like, within your rib cage, really,
is
the crow. Yeah, I just feel these wings of a crow, you know, and crows, let me just say this, crows are signs of, I know in a lot of literature and movies, we associate them with harbingers of bad omens and death because they're a black bird. That's really not the original intent behind the crow. That's not the oldest cultural interpretations that surround that animal. And it's really not a truth energy suit. The crow is really a sign of renewal and transformation.
Okay.
It's also a sign of abundance. So that's the good portion of that. And it's kind of synonymous with the raven. You'll find that they're kind of interchangeable in some lores. But in Native American myths, specifically, the crow restores order. The crow is one that comes and through the chaos restores order.
Okay.
So what that initially says to you is restore a sense of order in your life, and from the cleanliness that arrives around the order, you'll find purpose. But sometimes our lives are so cluttered in many different senses, not just the physical realm, that we can't see and we can't hear ourselves. And that's a big portion of it. In one legend, it's interesting because a white crow, oftentimes in one legend would warn when there was a danger approaching. And so that what that says to you is, on the flip side of that, understand that you have the natural impetus to know if something is wrong. If something's not right for you and you feel it, go with your gut on that. That's your warning. So don't be afraid of finding the wrong thing or falling into the wrong pattern. You won't.
Okay.
Now, to add a little bit of depth, and do you have questions before I add a little bit of depth and background?
No. I'm just, no, thank you. I'm just receiving it. So, yeah,
just
continue,
absorbing.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then just to add a little bit of death, we're not adding that. We're adding death. We're not adding death. Don't be afraid.
There could be some truth in that, and that's okay, too.
You know, maybe something does need to fall away. You know, there could be
Brain
slip, you know.
Exactly.
So to add a little bit of depth, we have the rainbow. The rainbow, most people know it from, you know, the old Noah's Ark story. The reason that symbolism was used in that culture and has been used in many cultures is because the rainbow is a sign of blessings, but it's a sign of blessings that occur naturally and on their own.
Okay. Mm.
And it also comes from a more etheric, almost illusory level, because a rainbow doesn't actually exist as a tangible physical thing. Okay?
Yeah.
What that means is your spirit will manifest exactly what it needs without any physical intervention. You are so blessed to be that powerful on a metaphysical, spiritual level that you can manifest it. But first you have to clear up the clutter. You have to see and hear yourself like the crow.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. I'm beginning to believe that even more, too, by the day.
Nice.
Good. But I really do think, I get a sense from you, I really do think that you are going to find exactly what you're looking for. The fact that you know enough to look for it is a really good sign. Mm. And that's the first step in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the feeling of being stuck has come from just trying to force these things to happen, trying to force my, I don't know, whatever I'm supposed to be doing outside, trying to force it, think it has to be a certain way, especially because of how I've been influenced a lot by, you know, society's perception of what needs to be done, you know, for money and for a living. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's been a little tough for me thinking, okay, what am I really going to What am I going to do to bring out my gifts into the world, or how's that going to
happen? Well, maybe this will help you. I don't know, but I just have this compulsion to say this to you.
Okay.
There's a big difference between what we do for a living and what is our purpose. Now, sometimes they align. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they don't, because one feeds the pocketbook and one feeds the soul.
Mm.
But there is a very big difference between making a living and making a life, having a job and having a purpose. You can have both and have them either in tandem or have them separate, but the point is to have them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
That was brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
You know, come on, let's call it spade a spade. That was freaking brilliant. Well,
I
mean, especially since, I have a personal connection with Kevin, so knowing what I know, which of course, you know, is all, you know, private, but that struck me for you. I mean, that was. You know, it broadened the whole, you know, it gave space. It gave space to your beingness and your actions.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, right? You felt that too. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I do feel more relieved after listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm sure. I mean, I've been developing an attitude of just sheer confidence, just making sure that, and trust. I know you talk a lot about trust, Goldie, and how we really have to just allow it to flow and just.
Yeah, well, because it is in the, when your words say I'm stuck, it's telling you you're not trusting, because in trust you couldn't feel stuck because you're jumping off a cliff and you're going where your intuition is telling you to go. So even if you were failing at that, you wouldn't feel stuck.
Right.
Stuck is just the action of not moving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just trust yourself. I think you really already know the answers somewhere in there. You know, a lot of times when we hesitate or feel stuck, it's because we know the answers, we just haven't made peace with them, or there's something about them we intrinsically don't like. But I think a human being makes on average like 12,000 decisions every day. Do you really think you're not qualified to make this one?
Mm.
You know, think about
right on.
It.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a willingness, because I definitely, oftentimes, I always really feel the answer within. It's just there's a kind of feeling that, oh, you know, something could go wrong, or maybe it's just really not what's best for me. I sometimes talk myself out of the decision, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because,
and
yeah.
And do you regret it every time?
It's weird. I mean, the way that my mind plays these games, I mean, it's like it convinces me that the decision I made, even though it is a painful decision, it was still the best decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you're still
no.
working on your path, you know, and I mean, we all are. So even things that are perceived as mistakes, they really aren't.
Exactly.
And if something's meant for you, it's going to come, it's going to keep coming back on around until you accept it.
So,
don't worry about missing it. You won't. You can't. It's okay.
You can't. Exactly. Right on, Jen. That's how. Because, you know,
all
what's
right.
coming up for me also just, you know, it's almost like you got a foot in the boat of change and a foot in the boat of where you are.
Yep.
Your soul needs to have a full experience of where you are. So it's almost like you don't have to convince yourself not to, quote, unquote, do something new. But what I would recommend is, put both feet in the boat where you are and really experience it. Don't look for the out of it. But genuinely, like Jen was saying earlier in the show, go deeper into the feeling of where you feel stuck and acknowledge it as the allness.
That's my other
point. The everything. It's all good.
Sorry.
The everything. Because once your soul has that experience, that's what will make it from the inside give you the push to make the change.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That was so perfectly said. Thank you.
I love you,
thank
Kev.
You.
I love you. Thank
yeah,
you for calling
that,
in.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I mean, everything you said, it was so profound. I know that when I listen back to it as well, I'll be able to extract some more.
Right on.
Good. Right on.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another caller, so you've started a roll. I appreciate that.
Right. Hey, no, you helped. You pushed me, you know.
Yeah, well, and what I would recommend, too, is all calls tonight, everybody will be serving everybody. So, you know, feel free to stick around, because that's the nature of always how it works. Group energy will hit something within all of us. All the questions being asked tonight will have a part. Everybody listening tonight will have a part in that. So, you know, I'll put you on hold, and you're welcome to, you know, hang out and listen to the other questions. So.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys so much.
Right on, Kev.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, area code 303, you're live on the air.
Goldie?
Yeah?
This is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy, how are you, sweetheart? Right on.
I'm a bit overwhelmed, but outside of that, I'm doing well. It's nice to meet Jennifer.
Hi.
And the first thing I have to say is that I'm so blessed and a bit emotional.
Okay, that's okay. Let it breathe. Be. You're beautiful.
I do have a comment that I don't really have anything that I need, because I'm just coming out of a session today, and I have so many wonderful people and helping me through this next phase, and so that's part of why I'm a bit of overwhelmed.
Okay.
It's just so incredible to be a part of this journey.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm not making any sense at all.
Yo, we feel you. It's not the words. We feel you. You're open.
Just speak your heart, Kathy. It's okay.
Yeah.
I have apparently a lot of shamanism in me. It's coming forth.
Nice.
And I have not looked for it. I've not, you know, it's not something. But everywhere I go, I'm surrounded by the eagles and the hawks and the Native American people that work with me with whatever it is that I'm trying to clear in this lifetime. And it's not just this lifetime. It goes back centuries and thousands of lifetimes. I can feel the... Today it was almost like I felt the depth of the masculine traumatized... I don't know how to put it. The words aren't really there. It showed through an individual person in my family, which I knew, and I asked for clarity because it's not that person. That ended up being like not a mascot. What's the
symbol?
A symbol, a representation of the damaged male aspect in this lifetime.
Okay.
That is flushing through, because I had a very strong. It's like a replay of those old fashioned movies that you just see the reels go by with everything going on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you can't really slow it down. It's moving so fast you can't tell what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that aspect in myself that is clearing, for want of a lack of a better word, just clearing the trauma and the history of the masculine side, whether it be in my life or my family's, or because it goes forward and backwards, your ancestors and your future generations. So It feels like that's what I've come here to clear, and I'm three quarters of the way through, I think. Because it's pretty intense.
I can sense that just from you, even over the phone.
I've been working on this clearing for several years, a number of years actually, and we keep clearing. But today I think we hit a core, and probably with some clarity, Goldie, it would be like the matrix, getting unplugged from that matrix.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Your intuition is right on. And the matrix entangles itself in our energy. So when untangles, it's quite uncomfortable. But it's
extremely painful. That's why I'm still reeling.
Water and fresh air, my friend. Water and fresh air.
Oh, well, we did, she hit this. In fact, it was about a month and a half ago I had an energy session, and the lady worked on it, and it slipped away before we got a chance to even get close to this, whatever this thing is. For lack of a better word, I'm going to use the word implant, but that's kind of a loaded issue in a lot of people, but... It just slipped.
Speak your truth.
It just slipped, and she couldn't get it because obviously the time wasn't right.
Exactly.
But when this lady worked on me today, she did acupuncture on my abdomen, which is where it's been hiding, and it's just like it went in, and I had a meltdown on the table, and she just came in, and we worked it through to the point where. She was doing the Native American healing that I must be very, very comfortable with. The grandmothers came in, and all of the support and that I needed for my body to repair itself. So that's why I'm in overwhelm.
And you called in anyway, so Kathy, thank you so much for sharing this. I love your authenticity, and I'm. Let's do a read. Jennifer, let's hear what Jennifer has to say, because it's the Divine Mother. She works with nature. Everything's organic. It fits right in with the shamanism.
And as I share with you, Kathy, if this will make you feel a little bit more comfortable, I learned while I was in the hills in Mexico as a share with you, person to person, woman to woman, and spirit to spirit. Mm. I had an awareness, an awakening, when one of the natives, you know, had said to me in communications that I was Nawal.
You were?
And that is Nawal, N-A-G-U-A-L.
Oh, Nagual. Okay, okay.
Yeah, cool. They pronounce it Nawal.
Okay,
and, and that is specifically, it's sort of very shamanistic, but it's a healer or a curandera, a person of spirit that is actually more like an animal or nature spirit in a human body.
Right. Well,
so
this
it ties
lady said,
that
yeah,
shamanistic, she... yeah, it's really a tie between the two of us. And the imagery that I'm getting for you right now is that of the waterfall, is that of you flowing, becoming fluid, and having this journey that you're taking now that you've done all this hard work. You're going to go through this period of effortlessness where the gravity, the weight, the natural essences around you do the work. And you're just in the flow.
Yeah, my body's completely worn out. Just mm-hmm. totally, I mean, I don't do anything except for work and sleep.
Welcome to my world.
Exactly.
But you know, what's interesting is that I found this lady not by accident, but I didn't know her from anybody, and I just set up an appointment. Somehow I picked her out, and the first session we had, she started doing Native American ceremonies, and it just totally blew me away, the fact that I pulled another one into my life.
Before, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but okay, can you feel the waterfall as a sentient being?
No, I can't feel anything.
But,
okay.
I mean, yeah, because like as soon as she said waterfall, here's what some of the things that came to my mind. Let go of everything. Let go of, you know, that it's, let go of the titles and just let nature move this implant through you. Because that's, you know, nature doesn't put it into words and or ceremonies. Nature as the waterfall, because it is the nature of gravity. And we all know, boys, stand at the bottom of a waterfall, you'll be pummeled.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's a power that is, you know, equivalent to the manipulation of implants. You know, meaning that's the natural power meeting the artificial power of the implant. So utilize that in your awareness.
Right.
Because that power is effortless. It doesn't take anything
effortless.
From you.
Exactly.
It takes no energy. It just happens. And that is just so key to healing.
And that's, I think I'm on the brink of that, but not
if you're not
in it,
that's okay. Just hold it in your awareness and let it come to you. Don't feel like you have to strive to arrive at it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the mind. The mind is telling you you're on a time frame. No, you're not.
Oh, yeah, well, my mind is pretty rampant these days.
Well, all of us. And that's why connecting with nature will... It's inherent in nature that nature understands the organic timeline. The
right.
timelines that aren't putting pressure on us, that it's, you know, 5 months till December 21st. And I'm not saying that those experiences aren't there, but nature just, it naturally entangles things. It knows you from the inside out. There is a waterfall that exists in you. I would highly recommend deep breathe, maybe light a candle or sit outside and envision the waterfall, and not coming outside of you. It's in you. It's in
right.
your being.
Mm-hmm.
See it flushing out, you know, anything that no longer serves you as effortless. And, of course, with the gratitude of that which doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, the thing of it is that this stuff, whatever it is on that matrix, has had such a hold and such a control that it makes you believe that you can't do anything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's insidious like that.
Oh, yeah, and that's why
I
think...
Like you self-domesticate yourself. They don't even have to tell you anymore.
Right.
You'll tell yourself.
Right.
You know, say that again.
It's amazingly powerful stuff.
Say that again, Jen. Say that again.
Yeah, it literally is a self-domestication. I mean, think about it. The society, the matrix that we're living in.
Oh, okay.
It tells you so many times. And then it doesn't even have to tell you anymore. You
right.
will tell yourself.
Right, right.
You have to reprogram and get all that toxicity out.
Well, I thank George Vassilis for some of that, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, right. Well, and because I'm telling you, because you know what you're connecting to? The wild side. The domesticated is connecting to the wild, the wilderness, the wildness and the power. The waterfall is such a powerful awareness to flush something because there's just no stopping it. You can't put anything in its way. The waterfall will win.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and if it can't go through, it'll go around until there's nothing left. It will wear it down.
Right, it'll make a Grand Canyon out of it. I mean,
exactly.
Don't fuck with water, man. I'm sorry if nobody handled my language, because it'll kick anything artificial. Get out of water's way.
That's it.
I'm the cheerleader. Yay for water! Water and gravity. There are allies. These are the natural allies, and they are when we put our attention onto them, they work. They work every time. No side effects. No, it becomes the truth is what they're built to do. They do.
Mm-hmm. And they do it without feeling the need to ascribe to it.
Exactly.
I mean, the waterfall doesn't self-identify as the waterfall. It doesn't think, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Right.
It's the waterfall.
Right.
Exactly.
And it doesn't need anything or anyone else's validity to be what it is.
So does that mean I'm close to doing this myself?
You all.
Yeah.
It's not that you're close.
Yeah.
You're doing it. She got the
yeah.
waterfall because it's already happening. The pain is that you're not in. Your mind is not aligned with what the waterfall's doing. It's already happening.
Okay.
Just now, you're going to align with it. So now, look inside for your waterfall. See it taking away anything that doesn't serve you. And if you can't see it, don't trust that it is anyways. Even if you don't, maybe it's under the water that it's happening. But, see, this is the thing. The mind will tell us, nope, not yet. And life will tell us, right now. Of course it's happening now. You couldn't have got that. It couldn't show up in your reading if it wasn't right now. She reads the now moment. It's what's happening.
Okay.
Just have faith that you are healing. Trust in the healing process. It's hard when you're so used to living another way. It's hard to live with that fear of what if. But just trust that you are healing, and then as the healing goes on, just trust that you are healed.
Right.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you. Kathy, I love you, sweetheart. Thank you for sure, because I'm telling you, and see, Kevin's still online. This is what I mean. You're helping everybody that's going through this with the courage to call in, and I'm telling you, Kathy, I have seen it on so many of my shows. When you make declarations, do me a favor, declare right now, I am healing, on the air. Speak it.
I am healing now.
Right.
There you are.
Because I'm telling
yes,
you, when you
are.
Say it on the, you are. When you say it on the radio, and I'm telling you, our radio shows are getting massive hits, it emphasizes that intention. I don't understand how that works. I just know it does.
Well, I think it's because we're all focusing on it with her.
Right on. Right
on.
We
are sitting there in spirit with you, hearing you say these things, and we agree.
And we agree with for ourselves as well. You know, truly.
Exactly.
Because it's all self-healing. None of this is, we can't give our power away to an implant. We can for a little bit, but once we awaken to the truth of who we are, you know, this is what George shows us, that it's technology that simply has no influence over us anymore because we know ourselves to be more than the implant. You're not just that frequency level. You're all frequency levels.
Right
now. Right now. Not in a future. Right now. So it's just about connecting your awareness to that.
Well,
to that
the thing of it is I don't think I've ever had any, you know, in groups you don't get that support. You get the bickering and the put down and, well, you need to be this way, you need to be that way, and that's why I stopped going to groups.
Well, that's it. So, but now you got, like Jen was saying, so now you got to stop that bickering in your own mind. You got to become the support for you, because it is your journey. So who better to support you than you? There's nobody greater.
Right.
And nobody more equipped to do it.
Right.
There you go.
And she's laughing. That is freaking awesome. You're beautiful, my friend. You really are. You're beautiful.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you, ladies, so much.
Well,
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you for calling, Kathy. It was great talking to you.
And you too. What do I do? Do I?
I'm just going to put you on hold. Stick around. Let's see. We have other callers. Work all the energy. I mean, if you want, and if not, if you want to go rest. I mean,
no, I've been resting all day, but I don't know how to get back. Do I just?
Oh, no, you just stay. Yeah, no,
air.
You don't have to push any. No, you don't have to push anything. You're good. You're good. So I love you, sweetheart. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right.
Okay, that was deep. I love deep, meaningful shows.
We were deep. We were like mermaids down there. We were
I just love when we can connect people back to self.
Yeah.
Okay, area code 618. You didn't press number one. I'm assuming you want to read, but press number one if you want to read. Ah, there they go. Okay.
I was going to say, if not, we'll read for you anyway.
Area code 618, you're live on the air. Thanks for calling.
Oh, gosh. Hi. My name's Karen, and I kind of am a Facebook fan of Jennifer's.
Nice.
I thought 618, you're just across the river.
Right.
From me. Yes.
Yes. And I heard about her giving readings, and I thought, well, you know, I'll call in and see what the readings are. And I'm loving the show.
Calling.
I'm glad I...
Oh, good.
Thank you.
It's
I agree.
It's so great to talk to somebody from so close to home.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what would you like a reading on? First, let me ask, would you like a nature reading or a animal reading? Or do you just want to tell me what you got going on and we'll see what happens?
Oh, well, I could do that. I'm kind of going through a lot of changes the last 6 months or so. And I'm kind of torn on which way to go. If I stay here, it seems like some things are shifting and in a good direction, but then I'm missing family and friends that live in other states, and I don't know, just kind of torn. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, why don't kind of like we did with Kevin? Why don't you let me go ahead and bring forth, you know, an animal message, and then sort of combine that with, you know, just a nature backdrop for you, so you kind of have a, you know, a little bit of a deeper experience, since you are working on something that it seems like it's a big choice. It seems like it's a pretty key decision. So if that's okay with you, if that's cool.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, from the animal realm, we have the rabbit. And I love the rabbit. You know, I'm not really a big, I don't have a rabbit as a personal totem. And rabbits, you know, I once heard the saying, well, they're the fast food of the wild. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty true.
I just never heard of it put that way.
everything preys on a rabbit. But rabbits have a lot of really interesting and very powerful traits, even though we don't usually think of them as a powerful animal. Actually, one of the main traits of the rabbit is, symbolically, is power. Rabbits symbolize abundance. Oh, yeah. They're amazing. Amazing at proliferating. They have babies.
At what?
Proliferating.
Making babies? Oh, okay.
Making babies. Having tons and tons of babies, having multiple litters. Right. Rabbits have lots of projects. They have lots of things that they complete quickly. And they're a sign of abundance, of cycles, but also seasons. And when a rabbit appears, typically, and they're associated with the spring equinox, you know, if you think Easter and the Easter bunny, and all that, there's a reason that's tied in. Rabbits are symbolic of a new season. a new beginning, the beginnings of life, the beginnings of a new stirring and a new direction, and that there will be abundance there. And that even if certain aspects don't work out perfectly, there's lots and lots of rabbits to compensate. Mm. There's lots and lots of supplies and stores and sustenance to compensate for the little things that don't work out. But the rabbit typically tells you to go ahead and trust and move in a new direction that'll be prosperous for you. And that in and of itself, you have considerable power. Rabbits are great at manifesting. You have a great power within you to manifest that which you want your life to look like. And this is a season for manifestation for you. I mean, we all have the power to manifest, but sometimes we're more at our zenith than others. And that can be a little scary because we're ultimately responsible for what we manifest. So if we don't like it, you know, and I think that's what hangs some people up is most people are not afraid of failure. We all know the procedure for failure. We know what to do if we get fired. We know what to do if we lose our job. We know what to do in a breakup. We know what to do if we don't make it. We know what to do if we fail. We just all know what to do. We assume the position. We don't know how to do.
I know. I got a dirty mind.
We don't know what to do with success. I know. Me too.
Okay.
But we don't know what to do with success.
Mm.
What if I'm successful? What if I manifest exactly what I want? What then? We don't know what the procedure is for that. Ultimately, because there isn't one, it's individual to the person.
Mm.
We haven't come up with a societal standard for success. So I encourage you to seek out that newness in your decisions and start to put your energy there and see if you like what's manifesting.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Now, I mean, what's not to like there, right? It's abundance.
Exactly. She's giving you the success card. and it comes with lots of bunny rabbits.
I'll make huge bunny love.
Right.
She doesn't want that. But the nature backdrop for that is kind of a counterpoint to the rabbit. It's interesting. I think you probably are a very fascinating, multifaceted person just based on this reading. And I say that because the cave came up as the backdrop. The cave is synonymous with the womb, so you have that birthing aspect. Again, kind of like with the rabbit, you can birth your reality. But there's two other messages that go with that. Number one, you have to go within the self to do it. And number two, you have to find a feeling of sanctuary and solitude. This is not a decision you can make with everybody having a vote. And this is, the things you're going through is not open to, you know, groupthink or group consensus or everybody approved. It's all about the self. It's all about going within and then ultimately, like the rabbit, manifesting it.
Mm.
So you're a rabbit in a cave.
And that
did I freak you out?
Because part of my decision really is going against the grain of everybody else's ideas.
Okay. Yeah, they really don't have a say. They really don't.
Right. Wow.
It's like the Bon Jovi song. It's your life.
Well, yeah. and you can look
no.
at it too. You're helping them see the authentic side, because so many of us we're waking up first in our families, because ultimately, When whatever's coming down the pike, which we're all sensitive, we feel something's coming down the pike. I mean, the changes are coming. So by doing it first, you'll ultimately be the guide for the rest of your family when whatever comes down the pike and they're hit, you know, they're blindsided because they didn't go into their cave. You know, it wasn't their time. You know, so, you know, people are like, I don't want to leave my family. It's like you're just leaving your family to get the insight so then you can come back and help guide them during the turbulence of, you know, whatever's coming down the pike.
Right. And it's also good for your relationships with family and friends, even if some of those relationships become strained, because what kind of relationship could you possibly have if you're being less than who you are?
Yeah, that's true. You can't have much of a relationship.
Yeah, show up as yourself and show up 100%.
Thank you. Gosh, this helps.
Right on.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Right on.
And I really, you know, I wish you all the very best as you're moving forward with this. Because big decisions are never easy, and it takes a lot of courage and a lot of guts to do it, you know, to make moves like that. So more power to you.
Well, thank you.
And you know what? Feel free that after the shift happens in you and you start making these choices, feel free to check in, you know, and let us know how you're doing, because I promise you, it's only scary at first. Once there's momentum, you really, because the ultimate relationship is the relationship with self. That is the ultimate relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest one for me. So.
Yeah, it's the hardest one for all of us. Nothing prepares us to go within except the soul from within pulling us in there. I mean, it's pulling us in.
And I'm
because
very reluctant to go.
Yeah, the resistance of going, but I want what I want. Well, but your soul wants you, because you'll find that you'll have everything you want when you have the relationship with yourself. You'll have it all. You really will. I know from my own journey.
Mm-hmm. And just imagine, you know, there's this portion of yourself, like another person inside you, and imagine you're having a conversation with somebody who just won't listen.
Mm.
It's got to be frustrating.
Wow.
You know, it's
fair enough.
This person wants nothing but the best for you, and you just won't listen.
We are stubborn.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, there's a lot of dams in people's readings.
On the back end. On the back end.
Oh, on the back end. Right on. Right on. No, right on. Yeah, no. It's a journey. It is so worth it. It is so worth it. You'll see.
I will definitely check in, or I'll post something on Jennifer's Facebook.
Oh, there you go. Right on.
Oh, yay.
Right on.
That would be wonderful. I would love that.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, I enjoy seeing people's, you know, the actual changes that happen, because then we all start becoming our own messengers. The message that I'm sending is simply the life I'm living. That becomes our message. That becomes our purpose.
Oh, well, I certainly have an awful lot to think about. And the whole show, it's bringing up a lot of aha moments again. So
nice.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Feel free to definitely continue listening on. Whatever feels comfortable for you, it's all good.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Okay, area code 228. You're on the air live with Jennifer and Goldie.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Shirley.
Nice.
And I've been seeing a dragonfly for the last, maybe 6 weeks, 5-6 weeks, and it's the same dragonfly whenever I go outside.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know what the meaning of that
was.
I know there is a meaning.
There is. And, you know, it's interesting because I had somebody text me the other day and ask me for that exact same information. So it is just so cool. Yes, it is so cool that you're asking me, because I just feel like it's really a symbol for the multitudes. You are bringing a message not only for yourself, but for everybody else.
Oh.
The dragonfly has been so potent lately. The dragonfly is actually primarily, I'm going to give you the primary symbol and then a little bit of the secondary symbolism.
All right.
Reemergence. The dragonfly goes straight from nymph to dragonfly. There isn't like that in-between stage. So it's a symbol of becoming your own self again. It's a retouching of the self.
Okay.
You are coming into contact with a deeper portion of yourself and a greater power in your life. And typically, people will start coming to you for advice when this happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People will start moving differently around you. People will seek your wisdom. They will sense that there's a power in you that is gentle, which is odd because most of us associate power with aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But true power is typically gentle and not forceful.
Right.
So
right.
With that going on, you have the chance now to influence people in these beautiful life-moving ways.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is really kind of get in touch with yourself. Understand that there's something in you that's blossoming forth. And accept that you can be even more than you think you can.
Okay.
Now, dragonflies are also a strong, agile aerial hunter. We don't really think of them as, I guess, predators, but they are.
Hmm.
They eat a lot of smaller insects.
Right.
Specifically mosquitoes.
Okay.
So love them. They're eating
your
mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Love them. They're associated, so that specifically means that you have the agility, the adaptability to take on anything you want to take on now and be successful.
Oh.
You can swallow it whole. You are an agile aerial hunter.
Mm. Oh.
And they look so beautiful and gentle, like they're dancing.
Oh, I know. They're gorgeous, right?
So. And they are all of those things, but they're also primal hunters.
Oh, okay. I never thought
of it. It's accepting that duality within yourself. The good news is they're also signs of good luck and good fortune, prosperity. Yeah.
Right.
So they have a lot of that trait with them. But imagine if you're this person who can accept the self and who can be both gentle and powerful,
mm-hmm.
agile, right. and yet dance.
Right.
It is something that through the self you have power, and through power you have prosperity. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean money. Prosperity takes many different forms. But
mm-hmm.
it's fortuitous. It's fortuitous.
Right. Oh. Okay. I know there it was like for a day, I went outside, it wasn't around, and I was walking my dog. And I just
mm-hmm.
said out loud, my dog's name's Ruby. I said, Ruby, our dragonfly is gone. And within 2 seconds, it was there, and it was
nice.
Going all around me.
Nice.
So every time I go outside now and I have my coffee, I'll sit outside for a while and go, okay, dragonfly, and I swear to you, within a couple of seconds, it's there. And it's
mm-hmm.
the same one. It's that beautiful green. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, you know, if you didn't believe before, I mean, you've got to believe.
Right.
No, really.
Right.
I mean, I always did believe, but it's just like it's really reinforced, you know. Yeah.
And maybe that's also part of it. I mean, you feel reinforced.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's already sort of happening. You're becoming that much closer to the greater web.
Right.
When you do, everyone else then feels permission to take a step.
Right. Oh, well, thank you so much. That's been very helpful.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Appreciate
great.
This. Thank you for taking my
welcome.
Call.
Anytime, Shirley. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. And it's funny, all the callers are sticking around, which I really love because, you know, like I said, there's just this synchronicity. Anytime you do a call-in show, that everybody's question is literally applicable to everybody. So, yeah, right on. Right
okay.
on. I appreciate the share. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, right on.
Thanks.
My
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we've run out of callers. We still have time for, you know, at least one more call, or if somebody in the chat room wants to type in a question, and that's fine too. And, you know, in the meantime, we've got 13 minutes, so, you know, we'll just keep talking. It's been a pretty powerful show.
Yeah, I think that's also part of why there's not quantity.
Yeah.
We have some powerful stuff. It takes a while to digest that. You know, it takes
some
effort.
That's absolute truth, because I can tell you that as my awareness is raising or expanding, however you want to term it, it literally does. It shifts my body that, like, I'll get an awareness of, you know, like that awareness when Eckhart said and it went into my body, that awareness is bringing another dimension to my experience. It's like for 2 days after that, I had to sleep more. And it's like, well, that's not aware. And it's like, but it was like after I got the awareness that I am in the space and it's sentient and it's working with me, then my body took on a new hue, a new H-U-E, a new tone. And in taking in that new tone, the integration of it came through sleep. Because, you know, I started thinking that, look at infants. Infants eat, they sleep, they drink, they poop. I mean, like, that's the life of an infant. That's very much equivalent to us being birthed. I mean, we should really look. It's not just nature. If you want to look at a human, you know, showing us how to do it, look at the infants. You know, they're radiant. They're glowing. They're always, you know, I won't say they're always happy, but they're always in the now. You know, they don't
see like people living closer to nature. I mean, that was the big shock for me leaving the country and seeing people that live by the natural cycles in the hills that don't have modern conveniences. These people, they're so connected.
Yeah.
They have a sense of self, and they have a sense of where they are in the spectrum, and they just, they're with it, and they're right there in the moment. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, to see the indigenous do that, it what it does is it takes your burden away. It gives you, it shows you another option.
Oh, right on. That's
you know,
beautiful way to say it. Right on.
Yeah.
It really does take the burden out of it. Right on, Kathy. Kathy says, thank you so much, Goldie and Jennifer. right on. And that's what it is. Because it's so amazing how the programmed conditions for what we're experiencing right now, all the programs are telling us we're doing it wrong, you know, we're failing, and we're worthless. I mean, that is really what and yet nature is going, you are doing everything beautifully. This is exactly where you're supposed to be, experiencing exactly what we are. We are ascending. I mean, it is not just a mental concept. The mm-hmm. whole cosmos is going through a frequency upgrade. I mean, literally the whole cosmos, that's really it's a big shift.
And bring that down to the micro for a minute. I mean, I had a shift today because somebody posted a picture of a sunrise on Mars. Now, think about it.
Oh, wow.
How often do you think about the sun coming up on Mars? We think about
from
it here.
Mars, right.
Honestly, we must know, like, rationally, we're like, well, of course it does. Mars, you know, goes around the sun just like we do.
Right.
But seeing it, you're like, oh, my God, we are that connected.
Yeah.
We are all family.
Yeah.
The sun rises and it's just there, and in another solar system it does something similar. And then, you know, I mean, there's this sense of continuity.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
something
right
so
on.
Simple as a sunrise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it seems like, you know, the basic element. Look at the sun is clearly pumping us, you know. It feels George Kavassalis basically says this about the sun. The sun, which is a portal, is connected to the central sun in our galaxy, which is connecting with the center of the galaxy, and it is the umbilical cord for all the nutrients. And do you have a child? Have you given birth to a physical child?
I have not, but I have raised many squirrel babies.
I know.
Does that help?
That just struck me. It's so cute. I guess I also, I've raised children, but I haven't given birth to one. But it appears that in the natural birthing process, right before the baby's ready to go into the birth canal and begin the process of actually coming into the planet and you know, letting go of the mom, there is a surge of nutrients that comes down the umbilical cord from the mother. And literally, the sun is the conduit right now. That's what the solar flares are. It is a surge of energy, frequency, awareness coming down to prepare us for, like we all can sense, you know, what's going to be coming down the pike, you know, which is ultimately us birthing ourselves, you know, birthing ourselves through Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why, you know, when you say, you know, that it was a profound moment to see the sunrise from Mars, because, you know, Carolyn May says this all the time, it is in the simple that we find the extraordinary. It is. When we try to create extraordinary, that's the matrix. You don't have to try. You know, extraordinary is in the simplicity of all of it. That is that's the vastness of the intelligence of nature itself, that it's simple and it's extraordinary. I mean, you know, these are things that, you know, for me, it's like, wow, what a gift that, you know, it's that whole chop wood, carry water, enlightenment. Chop wood, carry water. You know, really, it's extraordinary when we have the awareness coming in. And it is also, exactly like you said, it relieves us of that burden, which is just being relieved of the mind telling me, I mean, I don't tell myself I'm failing anymore. That is not part of my repertoire anymore, simply because I've chosen to recondition everything that's happening to me to be of benefit. Everything. I haven't called myself, quote unquote, sick in, and I mean physically in my health. I have not been sick in 5 years. By choice, I simply went, okay, anything that's coming up in my body is either a clearing or a message. And because lately I've been doing a lot of,
Lauren, you can even say that about when I was quote unquote sick in 2009. It was a message.
Exactly.
You're allergic to this, swap it. You're poisoning yourself.
Well,
you know?
Well, the message is connect with your body so you, because, you know, an animal can smell and see an energy template and will know not to eat certain berries. It'll know it intuitively. We know intuitively what not to.
Because I started sniffing my food.
Exactly.
It's so bizarre, and I know that looks weird. It's like, have you ever seen
not
MASH?
Not at all.
You know, like the show MASH, and Hawkeye always sniffs his food, and people are like, why are you doing that? I'm like, I do that now. It's a quirk, but I will sniff my food because as my senses have gotten sharper, I can smell if there's milk in something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
Well, and it, that the message is always in a positive. You know, in other words, if we get sick, the message is we don't have to be sick. Through sensitivity and awareness, we can, like the waterfall, move through these things very quickly. Very quick. It's unbelievable the power we have to heal our own bodies right now. And I know I am living proof that I have had situations, cysts and tumors and welts and bug bites that I'm blowing through them. And it's not because, you know, I'm on medication. It's because the minute it comes up, my first reaction is not to fight them. These things aren't here on my body to hurt me. They're here to bring awareness. And boy, they get my attention because I'm not a big fan of pain.
Oh, my God. A cyst or a boil will get your attention quick.
Well, exactly. I mean, because everything is about if we put it in a state of it's serving us. Because I get when people say, you know, I'm letting go. That's not serving me anymore. And it's like, well, then you're really not letting go of it. What you're ultimately doing is you've integrated it. And why it's not serving you anymore is it's not triggering a fear. Things can happen, and they roll off your back like water on a duck's feathers. You know, that's what ultimately releases that you can stand in the middle of, you know, a chemtrail attack and know that you're sovereign and safe, because the water inside you will keep your water inside your being at a frequency that's not poison. That is a potential and a reality that is what comes with the raising of the frequency of the entire cosmos. Because we haven't always had that awareness, but now connecting to the galactic center, that is one of our gifts. That's truth. It's pretty hot.
Yep. It is. It's awesome.
It is. I am too, my friend. I believe we're already there. There's no getting out of it.
Right.
So I might as well enjoy it. So tonight was fantastic, Jen. You're a delight. I really enjoy our time.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this. This was fantastic.
Thank you. My pleasure. Come again. And you know me, and you do it perfect. When you want to come on, you come on. You know, when the book comes out, definitely. But even before that, come on again.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Good
I'll
night, Kevin. And
Kathy. You know, I'll come on sometime before Halloween, and we'll do a talk about, you know, the changing of the seasons or something.
Okay.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Absolutely. Love it. In fact, let's talk. Maybe we can actually do it on the autumn solstice or the equinox.
Oh, yeah.
or solstice, or whatever it is. Yeah.
We'll find something. It'll work.
No, right on, because today was the 8-8. I mean, and it definitely felt powerful. That it really did. Yeah. Bye, Kathy. Bye, Annie, and stick together. Listen, thank you, everybody who called in. You guys all make the show what it is, and I love it. This is a platform, and it's a platform for all of us to get back to self. That is the goal. That is the intention, and that's what we're experiencing, and it is exquisite. Jennifer, thank you so much. Love you. Can, you know, talk to you on Facebook, as we always do. And yeah, everybody have a great night. And one quick reminder, next Wednesday, Laura Eisenhower at 8 o'clock. And then the following Thursday, we're doing the George interview, and it'll be posted either that Thursday night, Friday, or Saturday. But it'll be up by August 26th, both parts will be up. So interesting time. And, of course, the Mystical Mother Earth show on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. So thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. It was amazing. As always, it was amazing. And we'll talk to everybody soon. Bye.
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 You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.